The purpose of our finance is to serve God. And so we're going down that line. Money serves me and I serve God. It's that simple. All right, so I don't serve money. I'm not giving, you know, if you're now locked up in debt, then the truth is you're serving money. And that's, no one needs to be condemned about that or put down about that. It's just a fact. And we need to break free of that, all right? So that the money starts to serve us and then we serve God. That's how it goes. And so I want you to encourage with that, and we want you to be free. We want you to get free. So we've got a whole bunch of helps here for you. There are some books. I think a couple of examples are available around the back, I think maybe on the coffee table or the table or somewhere. And you can get, and you have a look at those, and then you can find out what you want to get. Money Answers and Total Money Makeover, a couple of books that are worthwhile. What's the name of the author? Dave Ramsey, a great author, Christian man, loves God, teaches godly principles, but really practical in this area, and has kind of become one of the gurus of getting released out of debt, which is a great thing. And in fact, going further than that and releasing finance and resourcing and investment, which we may do later in the year, but we really want to focus in on this thing of getting free and getting control. That's the main thing we want to do. Some Christian teaching there on the web. Now, we're going to have, I'm tempted to say live by a satellite, but it's not quite as live. I'm sure they are live, but not live right now. And we're just taking an excerpt out of one of the series that I think are one of the best series on this that you can get a hold of. And we've taken a bit out of that, which will give you some of the crux of the matter. And but I encourage you to go and have a look at it. That's from Life Church TV, and the series is called Strapped. It's a 6-part series. If you've really got an issue with this area, then I would encourage you to get onto the internet, and it's all free. You can just get a hold of it. You can watch it online, download it, get it as a podcast, whatever you want to do. If you've got no idea how to do any of that, go and see the guys at the production at the back there. They're probably the best ones to help you. And get a hold of it and just go through the whole series and just let it sort of get into your heart, get into your spirit, so you get a hold of this. And the earlier you get a hold of it, the better in your life. The other one is North Point, and there's a bunch of messages there on Balanced. Andy Stanley is very good on this stuff as well. So grab a hold of those. On the back, there's some helpful websites there for you. You've got Dave Ramsey there. You've got Your Move, Money Smart, etc. There's some apps for your smartphones, both the Evil Empire and Android are covered there. And so you can have a look at those. And we're making, many of us are making use, for those who don't know, that was a joke about Apple. Just the, don't worry about it. Just the Apple fanboys in the place, they got it. They knew who I was going for. And then the last one in there is financial counseling. There's a lot of great financial counseling available for you in our local area. Some organizations that do that very well, very professionally. And of course, we have our own people who help you with budgeting and all that kind of stuff. So you can come and see your life group leader or come and see the pastoral staff, and we can help you with that. So there's heaps of help available. There is no need for this thing to be getting a hold of your heart. And maybe you say, well, I've got no problem with any of that. Well, I bet there's someone in your life who might have a problem with that. And so it gives you a heap of resources that you can actually, when you get the opportunity, so you don't want to go and bash them, but when you get the opportunity, you might be able to just help them out with something. All right, so I think I've covered everything I need to cover. I will be in China the next 2 weeks, and so I appreciate your prayers for that. We've got two groups of microenterprise church planters that we're working with. We've got, I will be going to see Matt and Nana, Lesmana in Xi'an, and I'll also be catching up with Steve, Xiao, and Holly in Beijing, and in 2 weeks' time, I'll be in the Hong Kong church in their brand new facility. So if you haven't, look up Lifehouse Hong Kong. That's the church we work with in Hong Kong and just over the border in Shenzhen with church planting in a brand new facility. And it's just wonderful to see about 100 young Chinese cram into this place, and they've got it set up really Mickey Mouse, state of the art. It's fantastic. Of course, the church that Peter and Lisa were pastoring and building up. So awesome to be involved with that. So we'll be doing all of that. And so I would appreciate your prayer. But Doug's going to join me towards the end, and we will be back for the My Church meeting. We'll be arriving back that morning and go straight to that My Church meeting. And so we'll just share with you straight, hot off the press, what God's doing in China and all of that. So that's what's coming up. But let's go to it. This is Craig Groeschel and Life Church TV. If anyone of you have got a YouBible app on your smartphone, these guys are the origin of that application. have a fantastic heart for the church and for the kingdom of God. All their resources are free. And the reason for that is that they are released in finance. You will not find somebody teaching on the area of finance who is more disciplined and more direct. And that's why we thought, rather than reinterpret it ourselves, I just thought, let's get it from the horse's mouth. And so today we're going to get that, and then we're going to have some discussion around that, hopefully. Go for it, boys. Let's get into it. The screen is happening. There he is. That was awesome. So let me encourage you, don't be condemned if you're in a situation where you're struggling and got challenges. That's the whole point. And make sure that we open our hearts to what's the currently? I'll take one of those. Make sure that your heart's open. I've got a couple of guys who are going to come and talk with us. And what I did, we've got the silverbacks today. And Brian hasn't got enough silver, but you know, Stuart and I are helping him out. And so come up, guys. And that was a pathetic welcome, wasn't it, really? So what I wanted to do, we want to get some perspective on this stuff. I was just thinking, by the way, that the kids are washing the cars. So if you didn't learn to say no beforehand to them, it's probably a bit late to say no afterwards. So anyway, that's the whole point of being able to bless people. But look, what I wanted to do this morning, just for the next 10 minutes or so, is to be able to talk around this with a couple of guys, and we could have had their wives up here as well, but we don't have enough stools. And but I wanted to talk with a couple of guys who've actually done this over the long term. Not people just talking about it, because it's easy just to talk about it, but people have actually done this and got themselves to a place. Both of these guys are now exploring all kinds of investments and generating income for the kingdom of God. I know where they're at. I know what their hearts are. I know the reality of their situation. And I know that both of them are in that position, and they've got there because they've worked hard and they've had blessings in their lives, all that kind of stuff, but they've worked hard and they've done the right thing and they've got themselves to a place where they can now be a blessing to the kingdom of God and the church. And I won't go into that in any more detail because they'll get embarrassed, but they're both on our board in our church, and the reason they're on our board in our church is they know what they're doing. And so I wanted to talk to them about some stuff. Now, I did give them some questions, but we'll give them a bit of latitude as well to talk about whatever they want to talk about. So the first question is this. Just for both of you, what's been the basics of your approach to like finance over the years? I guess in light of what Craig Groeschel's been sharing there, try not to disagree with him too much, but just give us some basics. You want to go first, Brian?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing, any aspect of life, you have to work out who's the master and who's the servant.
Yeah.
And my view is that certainly applies to finance, but I think actually applies to every aspect, and sort of it's sort of a rough rule of measure I like to put over things, yeah, to say, well, look, if am I serving this thing or is this thing serving me? And if I'm serving that thing, then I've got it back the front.
That's good.
That's certainly the and that's the starting point with money. I think. That some of the things is clearly you need to set really good boundaries in terms of what you do and don't do. And I think maybe as this unfolds, I don't think I've always done this particularly well either. But anyway, I'm not alone in that, I suspect. But certainly also set good boundaries with it. One of the other principles is giving tithing is basically out of the first fruits, yeah. and it begins with that. So regardless of the circumstances I've ever been in, that's the tithe is always the first bit. Cool. So that's I guess one of the
real principles. Lordship issue and making sure that you're the thing that you're not serving it, but it's serving yep. you. And then the tithing thing is really about you serving God, isn't it? It's
absolutely.
About you saying He comes first,
yep.
and so you're getting control over the money.
Yes,
whether it's something you're doing or something you're giving, you're in control of what's going on.
Yeah.
That's really good. What do you reckon, Stuart?
Yeah, it's interesting looking back. I guess I didn't make conscious decisions about finances in the early years of life, but I guess as I look back, because I didn't grow up in the church, but I think there's key decisions you do make very early on in life, though, that have a big impact on your future and finances and the life that you actually want to live. And I don't know, when we got married and thinking about houses and all the rest of it, Craig Rochelle mentioned it, the choice to, you want someone to be at home for the kids, for example. And you need to make those decisions. And again, it's about having that control and living within the context of that.
Yeah.
Not making that decision, but then saying, yeah, but we want to buy the $1 million house. And
exactly.
We're both having to go and work and do whatever. So I think they're fairly significant things. And as Brian said, I think coming to the church and learning about tithing in my 20s or so, it is one of those things. Up front, I guess you've got to make those decisions. One, that you're going to make the choices in your life about how you're going to live and financially, and that first one up front of that is about what you're going to commit to God in that, and controlling your money and honouring Him with it in the kingdom.
Great. Well, we might stay with Stuart for a minute, and I want you to talk particularly about managing credit and debt and what your approach to that's been over the years.
Yep, absolutely hate it. I never had a credit card until we actually got a mortgage, and it becomes one of those vehicles when you've got home loans. How you
just say that again. You never had a credit card until you got a mortgage.
Never had a credit card until I got a mortgage.
Okay.
So there was never a concept of actually borrowing to pay for things in advance. And I've always, even though I've had a credit card now for 20-odd years, you do get constantly pushed with press, take up more, we want to increase your credit.
Up the limit.
So I've always had a rule. I never have a credit limit that's above my monthly wage, for example. So I always know that in any pay period, I can essentially wipe that out if I need to and move on. So there's no ongoing debt. It's always, you just really have to be very strict on that, because it is a game. They're all trying to lure you in. They want to bring you into that trap where you've got this ongoing balance that you're paying interest on at an incredible rate, and you just got to smack that.
There's a whole bunch of stuff. We talked about this the other day. There's a whole bunch of stuff with housing finance that can actually just bind you right up. The lines of credit that are attached, the whole refinancing to withdraw your capital, that kind of stuff. People get overtaxed in that. There's just a whole bunch of stuff, isn't there, with that area?
It is. I when I say I hate debt, I hated a mortgage for many years. And it was something I really prayed earnestly about. And God did some major blessings at times that really kind of cut through that and helped us to manage and, eventually deal with it completely.
Not gonna have it. I think the thing about that is that people are waiting for the blessing without necessarily doing the hard graft, where you create the base for God to do the blessing. And I think there's a big difference there. If, just waiting for something to fall out of the sky rather than really doing the management properly. What do you reckon, Ryan? What's your thoughts on this whole credit and debt and all that?
I think overall, I said just before, you need a plan. And I think you need to set boundaries. And one of the things is you've got to find a plan that works for you. And sort of we're all different, and different things work for different people. But, okay, you can do a straight budget, and if you can stick to all those bits, great. Many people find that difficult, and probably we're in that category as well. But you do need to find some way. You need to be able to come up with a way to set boundaries and stick within the boundaries. Mm. The way that we found to do it is basically we've gone having a reasonably large credit limit on credit cards and found we weren't good with that. So what we've done is we've wiped that down to something quite small. We keep it small, it'll max out very quickly, but it can't get out of control. Yeah. And so what we've done, one of the ways is to do that. Another way I think is really important is somewhere you need to have some money set aside for the things that always come up to all of us.
Yeah.
Hot water system blows up. You have a $1,500 repair bill on your car. So something happens, and they happen enough to know that in this room, probably there's one or two people facing one of these types of things at the moment, because they just happen to us all. Is somewhere you need some money set aside to be able to deal with the circumstances when they come up. You need to know how you're going to deal with them, because they will come up.
Yeah.
And I've started something a few years ago where a completely separate account. I put money into, it's a small amount each pay goes into it. I only touch it for a handful of things. I hit it for the building fund offering here. It's how I was able to do that, because I had money set aside. If I get extra money come in, I put a bit extra in that one, as well as paying off a bit off mortgage as well. If I get a bit of a bonus come in with work, it's a matter of, okay, a bit goes into, well, first of all, extra goes into offering, Then out of that, then a bit goes into this account, and then all comes in the mortgage. And I might leave a little bit just to buy something that I think we need at the time.
Yeah.
But basically, you just sort of manage each of that. But the key thing is have some money put aside somewhere that you can go to, because these things will come up.
That's it.
And so that way you don't have to suddenly draw down on debt to do it.
Very good, Stuart. Well,
I was just going to say, it is such a... buying your first home and the mortgage that you're prepared to pay is such an input to that as well, because everyone has the tendency, you just want to go that bit further, and you end up so stretched that first unexpected expense that comes along is going to put the pressure and the stress on. So yeah, you've really got to leave that gap. You've got to make room for the unexpected, and things never get cheaper. You've got to add that capacity.
That's really good. I think what I'm hearing is, you know, make those decisions early. Be really careful about what you're committing to, so that you're actually in control of this thing. And I think what Stuart said there, exactly right, that people overcommit in all kinds of areas, whether it be through credit card debt or housing loans, that kind of stuff. And because of that overcommitment, then they're stuck, and they can't get free of that. So that's really good thoughts. I've got two questions for you. Let me see. Just quickly, I think you really have addressed this. I was going to ask you how you balance giving, saving, and consuming. I think Brian's already addressed that in terms of the boundaries that have been set. Maybe Stuart, any thoughts on that? Just on the balance of giving, saving, and consuming, how you make that work?
How do you make that work? Again,
someone said you've got to hold your wife's hand while you're shopping. I thought that was a great... It's a very romantic thing to do, and it stops her reaching for the credit card. It's just fantastic. I think
I've been very blessed in that regard.
You've been blessed in that regard.
A very self-controlled wife.
That's good.
Look, I think, it's just like a bit of a broken record, but those big decisions you make about some of the big things in your life will just have such an impact on your ability to give and to save and to be free in other areas. And... yeah, you just got to be disciplined about that. Even, you know, talk it through with people that you respect or want to have input into that to really get that balance. But and it is, I think, up front before you even take on those big expenses, just say, what is it I'm setting aside in terms of giving, for example.
Yeah.
If you don't do that up front, you're always going to have this battle and struggle that, gee, if I wasn't doing that giving, you know, I'd be able to hit the mortgage quicker, I'd be able to do these other things. Well, just... don't even go there. Up front, I know this is what I'm giving. Then what I've got left, that's what I'll look at in terms of, you know, what I'm going to spend, how
that's
I'm going
great,
to live
mate.
And enjoy.
So good. Oh, these are good stuff. Give me a good hand. We haven't finished yet, but that's just good gear from both of them.
Can I just actually take us a little bit of a step to the left? I don't doubt that there are people, and a step to the right. I don't doubt there are people here who are actually at the moment thinking, look, I actually can't see my way out of where I am.
Yeah.
And we reached that point actually not that many years ago, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. I've had a few goes at property investing. One of them ended up really disastrously. I ended up probably about 40 grand down, which is, I don't know what you consider a disaster, but I can assure you I did. In fact, look back. And a couple of other goes where... The net is negative, and sort of I won't sort of go into that. But on the last case, I had a property which I purchased, which all looked good as a negative gearing, but it was only just negative geared in theory. But a couple of things happened. One is I bought it at a town away from here, and that seemed smart at the time. Soon after, I lost my license with my eyesight, and then that meant I couldn't access it anymore. Mm. Interest rates started to spiral up, and it reached a point where actually having trouble servicing this, I need to get out of it. Now, in theory, you think, okay, one of the things you always need is a back door. So I attempted to sell it, and it wouldn't sell. But in the process of putting it on the market, so I was going backwards at a reasonably controlled rate, and just thought I needed to get out of that. But then once you put it for sale, who knows that tenants don't want to stay when your property is for sale.
Yeah.
And so then all of a sudden I lost the income from it as well. And then instead of going backwards a little bit each week, we started going back massively. And we reached a bit of a crisis point. probably one of the best things. I shared it with some friends and so on. I know we sat down with Ron, we sat the kids down and said, look, this is where we're at. It was really heartbreaking to do that. It was just the time that Liz and Adrian were engaged and we were working at the wedding. Mum and Dad around us and said, look, this is where we're at. We just need you to know. We don't need you to do anything. We just need you to know. You know, Deuteronomy 28 talks about blessings and curses, and the blessings are for the people who actually follow after God and commit to Him. The curses are for the others. And look, I really believe that. Mm. Committed it to God, and look, where I couldn't see a way through it, God found a way through it. It was some great support. Doug's practical help he gave was an absolute lifesaver, and is really, really appreciated. But God just had a way through it, and he got us through that. And you know, it's just how important it is. No matter where you are, no matter what circumstances, God will have a way through for you. And that's one thing I can tell you is God has a way through for you.
And look, if you that's awesome. And if you talk to these guys, you will hear that story. Is that it's never just a straight line. There's always stuff going on. And with any of the guys who have been through this stuff and done well, there'll always be challenges and stuff. It's up and down, and yet you get control of it and you trust God. And the thing we want to hear from Brian is there. He got help. He spoke with people who could help him and advise and give practical help and assistance. And then the blessing of God flows. So don't do it in isolation. Just make sure you're getting hold of things and get control of it. You know, and look, to be honest with you, I know what both of these guys do for the kingdom of God. So it gets to a point where God can really flow and bring blessing. And so you can get there. Anybody can get there. You just got to get a hold of this thing, all right? Last question. I know Stuart was looking forward to this one. You've both got adult children. Just give us one or two pearls of great price that you would give to your own kids on this area. You listening, kids?
They're listening.
Get your notebooks out.
I mean, we've talked a lot about controlling spending and all the rest of it, but the other side of finances is about how you actually get the money coming in. And I just repeatedly go back to the scripture, how God blessed the work of people's hands. When you look at, you know, Abraham and Jacob, and the blessing came through just their everyday work. And so don't be afraid of that. Look for God to actually bring blessing and provision in your workplace. And yeah, be diligent about that on the one side. And the other is, I think we've said all along, you've got to be proactive about making those choices in your life that will put a framework around your finances, what you do with them, how you spend, how you give, so that you are in control. Because if you don't take control, someone else will over time.
That's it.
If you lose control, someone else is going to step in and
take it. Yep, that's very good. What do you got?
I'd come back to the master servant thing, is actually know that money's there to serve, and money can be the most incredible servant that there is, and opens up all sorts of opportunities and to bless and so on. But set boundaries and have a strict plan. That's it. And because Craig Rochelle said it somewhere in what he said there. He says, look, it's not easy to stay out of it, but it's very easy to get into debt. Mm. And look, you can get into it at an instant, and it can take you years and years to get out of it. Don't do any big decisions on the spur of the moment. And that was how I got into the $40,000 disaster. That was a spur of the moment and allowed myself to be influenced. It wasn't good. But have a plan. Don't make anything on the spur of the moment. Think it through. But above all, plan it and set really good boundaries.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to go outside of it, it's done in a controlled way.
That's fantastic. Give these guys a great hand. That is awesome. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. Very good. Well, each of the next couple of weeks, we're going to be very practical on how to actually address these things. And I do encourage you about the websites and the materials, the resources that we've got available for you. The whole point of what we're doing in this series is that we get control and we make sure that money is serving us and we are serving God. I love what Brian's saying there about that master. Who's the master? Who's the servant? Ask that question Am I serving the money, or is the money serving me? That's the question. And if the answer is that I'm serving the money, well, it's time to get control. So whatever I've got to do, whatever I've got to do to get control of that part of my life, because I want that part of my life honoring God. I don't want to be controlled by it. I really like what Stuart had to say, that if you don't control it, something's going to control you. And that's the truth. So get into your heart. Don't get condemned. Don't get worried. Don't get put down. Just get encouraged. So, you know, Brian's talked about, you know, some of us think about 40 grand going down and we go, whoa, that'd be the end of me. So don't get worried by the challenges that are there, by the issues that are in front of you. Get control and let God do something great in your life. Amen. Why don't we stand together? The band's going to come. We're going to finish up.